Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be able to connect once again on this virtual connection. The Lord has been so gracious and kind to us. So right now, I just want you to lift up those hands wherever you are and just give God some praise. If you're on the chat, you put some emoticons there, some claps of praise, just thanking Him for another day that He's allowed us to see and to be used for His glory. Thank you as always for continuing praying for Ebenezer. I was able to be with some of our leaders the other day, and we were just blessed to know that God is doing exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. We've got so many things that are going on at Ebenezer, which we proclaim that we are living epistles by God's word. Literally, it's not just in the building, but it's in the community. It's connecting with people, and people are looking at our lives to see Christ. And I am so glad and so happy to be a part of a congregation that loves the Lord with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. On Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, we have our virtual Bible studies on Mondays at 7 o'clock at ebcnc.com. We've got a particular trainings that go on, different preachings that have occurred at Ebenezer. So a lot of things that are occurring on Monday at 7 o'clock. Tuesday, we are in our noonday Bible study, where we're going through the book of Genesis, getting history so that we can understand all the intricate pieces of the scriptures. And then on Wednesdays, we are in the book of Hebrews, where we are studying the high priest, and that's at 7 o'clock. And the Lord has been doing amazing thing as we've been going through His scriptures. Don't forget about our Bible study coming up on the first Thursday in June. First Thursday in June, that's June 6th. We'll be back. We were on a little hiatus where they were doing some missionary work, connecting one with another. But June 6th, we'll start back that Bible study. And that's at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary. And we'll be going through the book of First Corinthians. The Lord has just done so many amazing things. I want you to continue to pray for our 8:45 in person, our 10:45 in person, and our 10 o'clock online. On next Sunday, it is my anniversary, Pastor Appreciation Day, and that we've set aside. Literally, I will have been at Ebenezer for 25 years. I give God all the praise. It has gone so quick. We've got some speakers that'll be coming in all day long. So at our 8:45 service, we have Pastor Johnny Edwards, a personal friend of Ebenezer, going to speak into my life and all of us. And then on our 10 o'clock online, we have Pastor Ronnie McLaughlin, just a blessing, has been in the ministry a long time. And we are so excited about him being able to be here on our virtual connection to speak into our lives. And then on our 10:45 in-person service, we have Pastor Billy Pearson. He's from Central Baptist. He is actually traveling from Tennessee all the way to Greensboro, North Carolina, to be a blessing to Ebenezer and myself. So we're looking forward to celebrating all day long as we thank the Lord for the great things that He has done. Finally, thank you for your giving. Whether you're using our church app or you're sending it into our secure mailbox or you're in our in-person services where you're giving, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. I really hold forth, and God has shown me years and years ago that scripture that talks about purposing in your heart. You'll see it on your screen, that we can purpose in our hearts so that we can give cheerfully, not grudgingly or out of necessity, but we know that God has blessed us. And then that next scripture talks about that God's grace would abound, that we can continue to give and bless others around. If you've been blessed, I want to give you time to just thank God for His grace. Anybody blessed out there, just again, put some emoticons out there, lift those hands, and just thank the Lord for His blessing. We often take for granted what the Lord is doing on a daily basis. Well, I am ready to get back into the Word. If you see on my background, there's a car there. You ever felt like that? Just pieces and parts everywhere. You're like, you know what? I need somebody to work on me, put me back together again. Well, we're going to deal with that today, going back to that subtopic of guilt and shame. I'm dealing with David, and I'm telling you, you are going to be blessed. So I want your hearts to be prepared, and I want you to think about the goodness of the Lord. We'll see you soon.
Morning in this Psalm 51. I'm going to start at verse 6, and I'll read a few verses. Behold, You desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, and that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted to you. This was the word of God for the people of God.
May your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles show that you need God. May your battles end the way they should. May your bad days prove that God is good. May your whole life prove that God is good.
May your
struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles show that you need God.
May your battles
end the way they should. May your bad days prove that God is good.
May your whole life
prove that God is good.
And may your
bad days prove that God is good.
May your
whole life prove that God is good.
May your
bad days prove that God is good.
May your
whole life prove that God is good.
It is so good to know that God is an on-time God. Yes, he is. We have been so, so blessed. And I just thank the Lord for what he is doing in all our lives. Well, as we get back into our topic, back to the basics, remember, we've been dealing with those different subtopics. And today we're going to get back into guilt and shame. We'll kind of be summing that particular section up with David. But I want to get back to our memory scripture. We have been in James chapter 1, 26 and 27th verse. And we've been going through it, been reading it aloud, so we can get it into our mind. It could seep down into our hearts. So I want to do that again today. So if you don't mind reading it aloud with me, James 1:26, if anyone amongst you thinks he is religion and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I keep saying, man, if we live that out, it will change our lives. Before we go any further, I just ask you to please go on a word of prayer with me. Father, we come to you right now and we say thank you. Thank you for us being able to communicate via virtual connection, Lord. I thank you for your spirit that can be in many places, yet at the same time. God, thank you for your gift that you've given us through Jesus Christ, your Son. And I pray that if there's someone that doesn't know you today, that today will be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they embrace that gift. Now, Holy Spirit, we need you. We ask you to be our teacher, our guide. Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Thank you again for your many, many graces. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we get into this section today, we are actually flowing from a particular psalm on last time that we were together, and I'll be talking about that. But I want you to remember that whole context of David. Remember, Nathan the prophet has spoken into his life and said, "You are the man." David has a point of realization, so he has to struggle through that sin. And today we're going to deal with that part of bringing it all back together. Remember that picture I had of that car, that God is able to put you back together again. Let's go to Psalm 51 and 12. Psalms 51 and 12. It reads, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Can you put in a chat, joy, joy? That is something that's wonderful, because joy is there even when we're going through in our struggle. He said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." I want to speak from a title today, restoration. Yes, restoration. Restoration is defined as the action of returning something or to a former owner or place or condition. I'm going to go through that again. Restoration is defined as the action of returning something to a former owner, a place or condition. Bianca and I, when we make our way to church, we actually go down Freedom Mill Road, and we've seen that change. That has been transformed over the years. But there's a particular house over there. It's a brick house. And man, we remember years ago, it was just dilapidated. It was just messed up. Nice brick, but even the brick was breaking off. But someone purchased that particular house, and we would go by that house over and over again, and we would see some changes. We would see, you know, they're taking out the windows. And then we were like, well, they can't do anything with the brick. You know, the brick is the brick. It's messed up. But they began to paint the brick. They actually painted the brick white, and the house actually started to look great. It was restored. And that's what God wants to do for us in our lives. We go through, and sometimes we are dilapidated. Sometimes parts and pieces break off and fall down. We struggle. But God is saying, if we bring it to him, he can change it. And that's where we're going to pick up with David today. As we look a little closer at this portion of scripture, I want you to remember where we came from. We were in Psalms 32 on last time, and we focused on that fifth verse. It says, "So I confessed my sins and told them all to you. I said, I'll tell the Lord each one of my sins. Then you forgave me and took away my guilt." So this is that brokenness part that David went through. And we dealt from the title, "Out of the Darkness into the Light." Out of the darkness into the light. Now remember, David at this point, some theologians hold that he's about 58 years old. So it's about 980 BC or so approximately. And David has learned a lot about God. He is known as a man after God's own heart, but yet he struggles with sin. He struggles with staying in line with the righteousness of the Lord. This particular psalm is known as a penitential psalm, one of remorse, where he is coming to God and basically beckoning him as we go through to change him, to make him more of what the Lord would have for all of us. I think this particular psalm is one that all of us can memorize and repeat as we go before the Lord. Now that David has been convicted, and now that he has repented in Psalms 36, let's see about the restoration process that God can use in his life, but also in all of our lives. Let's jump into this section, Psalms 51 and 1. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Here's the first point, one word, mercy. Yes, mercy. Mercy is a powerful word. When we look at the Hebrew and the terminology, at least in this particular scripture, it's dealing with favor or to be gracious. So favor or to be gracious. And that's what we need in our lives. We need God to show favor upon us and be gracious, because all of us have messed up. Look at Psalms 51, 1 again. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." Notice David didn't say, "Have mercy upon me because of the stuff that I did in the past, the good things that I've done in the past." He realized that, you know what, his righteousness when it comes before God is as filthy rags. But he said, "Lord, I want you to be merciful to me according to your loving kindness, because you are such a good God." I tell you, some of you are excited right now. I'm feeling it right now, because you are such a good God, because you have been gracious in the past, and I deserve death. I want your mercy that comes out of your loving kindness. And he goes on that second part. He says, "A multitude of your tender mercies blot out my transgressions." Do you want God's tender mercies? I also love the word. You'll see it multiple times within the scripture, blot out. It's the picture of, you got a sin and all of a sudden God is able to cover that you can no longer see that sin. As we look at the New Testament, we have a song that says, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." That's what it is. Only Christ's blood can cover our sins. David is looking to the Messiah to come, but we're already here that the Messiah has come. And I believe, as we're looking at today and the things that are going on, that he is on his way back. But thank God for those tender mercies that he puts forth to us. This should be our prayers daily, as we are asking God for restoration, that we all have some parts of us that have issues and struggles. Romans 3:23 lets us know, "For all," can you put in the chat, all, that's everybody in the world, "all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," restoration. Now notice, as this psalm continues and David's pouring out his heart, in that second verse, he says, "Wash me." Yes, you feel that in America, at least, most of us, you know, take a shower or wash up every day. In foreign countries, I've gone over there. Some of them, it's a less frequent, depending on where you are and just how they view cleanliness. But all of us can understand we want to be washed. As we went through COVID and there's still stuff out there, we learned to wash our hands. And when you go into bathrooms, they say, wash them, you know, spend a little time. If you have smartwatches, they'll time you as you're washing your hand. Wash me. We want to get things off that we can't even see. He says, "Thoroughly from my iniquity." The problem with sins, or that deep sins of iniquity, they're inside of us, and we struggle with things from our past, choices that have been made. He said, "Wash me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." The issue is, even after we come through something and we repent it to God, there's still the memory of that. There's still the choices that we've made, and only God can cleanse us from that. Here's the point: clean me up. Yes, clean me up. This is so beautiful here, as God is using David to show us what it means to get close to him. Luther, a 16th century monk and theologian, was one of the significant figures in Christian history. He actually said this. He said, "Two parts constitute true repentance. first that a man recognize sin, then that he recognize what grace is. I want to read you. I want you to get that again. Two parts constitute true repentance. First, that a man recognize sin, then that he recognize what grace is. You got to recognize your struggle. You got to recognize your sin, and then you got to embrace that grace, unmerited favor of God, and know that if it had not been for God on our side, any praise and worshipers out there, I'm so glad that the Spirit reveals. We talk about this a lot. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unright. I'm talking about restoration. 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. All of us have sinned. All of us have struggled. We're in the same line with David. We may not have committed adultery or murder like David, but please understand, a small sin that we would equate as a small sin is still a big sin that we could end up in hell. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for his grace and mercy. David's prayer for washing was not a one-time deal. He wanted this washing to occur like a waterfall. I think all of us have seen a waterfall that waterfall just comes down. We were able to go to Niagara Falls many, many, many years ago, and I remember the abundance of water that was coming over that falls. I was like, my goodness. And you could hear the thundering of the water as it hit the rocks and it went down into the waters that were below. That's what David said. He said, I need to be washed every day, God. I need you to go from the top of my head to the soles. Peter said that. Remember when Jesus knelt down and he was washing the disciples' feet? And Peter said, hold up. I want you to, in essence, wash me all over. After he said, don't wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part of me. He said, well, wash me all over. And Jesus said, all I need to do is your feet. But this was the semblance here David is bringing out in the Old Testament. God, I want to be thoroughly washed. The Spirit speaks strongly in Philippians 2:12 that this is what we have to apply to our lives. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Here it is. Work out. Can you put it in the chat? Work out, work out. I'm not talking about exercise here. I'm talking about spiritually connecting with the Lord. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Restoration. Now notice the steps. We're taking steps here. So we repented. David's repented. We're seeing that fact. He's been broken. We went through that Psalms earlier on last Sunday, and now we're in that restoration process. Psalms 51:3, for I acknowledge my transgression. You got to get this. You got to get this. We're in a day and time that people acknowledge other people's transgressions. They're quick to talk about other people's issues and other people's sins. The gossip about, have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? But we've got to own it for ourselves. We've got to say, you know what? I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. David is like, God, I need your help. I messed up. I can't go back to fix it. I can't bring Uriah out of the grave. I can't, you know, erase what I did with Bathsheba. It is before me. Psalms 51:4, he said, against you and you only have I sinned. You've got to embrace the fact that it is God. When we sin, yeah, we it's interactive with others many times, but ultimately when we sin, it's against God. And David recognized that, you know, because I went against what you said, I sinned against you. And so now I have to stand before you and done evil, this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. The point again is own it. Yes, own it. We're in a day and time that people just won't own it. I am so blessed when people are going through, they're struggling and they own it. They recognize I need help. I need assistance. I need somebody to pray with me. And they are quick to come out of it. We're living in a hypocritical society that we want to pretend that everything is okay when it is not okay. We've got to own it. As we think about the seriousness that of what David has done, and we think about the seriousness of sin within our lives, Woodrow Kroll really captures this thought. He says, there can scarcely be sins that more directly harm mankind than adultery and murder. Any amens out there? Yet David is aware that all sin culminates in wrong against the being and will of God. And there is no such thing as private sin. And you put in the chat private, wherever you're standing and sitting, so you say private, there's no such thing as private. You may think it's private. Regardless of whom we hurt when we sin, God is always hurt the worst. I tell you, that should move your heart there. And done this evil in thy sight, David has a keen consciousness that he has committed his moral iniquity in the full view of Jehovah God. I'm telling you, when we have that understanding, that type of sensitivity, man, we gonna hinder what we do, right? Because everything that you think is in secret, you know God is already seeing, and everything that you're thinking about doing in the dark, God is light, so He's already been able to see that. He even knows the intents of our heart. He knows what's going through your mind. Somebody need to scream out restoration right now. We need God to change us from the inside out. But we must own our sins quickly. Please, wherever you're standing, say quickly. Quickly. We got to do it quickly. We can't be like David a year or so going through denying, pretending like he can get away with it, because you cannot hide from God. Even be willing to confess our trespasses to one another. Scriptures talk about this in James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. I need people to pray for me, and you need people to pray for you as we're going through life, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So many times we're trying to make it through life by ourselves. We got to go to the brethren and the sisters and say, I need you to touch and agree with me as I go before God. I need help in fighting this battle. The enemy is on my trail, but I'm telling you, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. It said where two or three can gather together and agree and get on one accord, God said, I'll be in the midst. There's power in prayer. There's power in confession. We're talking about restoration today. Look at Psalm 51:5. David says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. That's a heavy scripture, isn't it? Here's the point. We were born with it. Yes. We were born with it. Oftentimes, and people have gotten on me for saying this, but I continue to say this. We call babies angels. They say, look at the little angel. Aren't they beautiful? And I was like, they're not angels. Realize there's a sin nature on the inside. That's why they cry sometimes when they don't need anything. And even as they grow up, we call them the terrible twos. They turn into this creature. This thing. I know they are a person, but there's sometimes they have ways. You're like, where did that come from? It's the sin nature. They were born with it. You're like, how did they get it? You had it in you and you passed it down. It all came from Adam and Eve when they sinned and went against God. That sin nature was passed down. So everyone that was born of a woman, please, they receive that sin nature on the inside of this. Paul wrote of this, and he really captures this whole thought again. He says, Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Any witnesses out there? We struggle with this flesh. For the good that I will to do, I do not do it, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice now. If I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who does it, but sin that dwells in me. You feel it? You feel it? That's why we got to stay in prayer. That's why we got to fast. That's why we got to worship. That's why we got to praise. That's why we need people to touch and agree with us. That's why we need to come together, and we need to be edified in the word and encouragement, because if we're left to ourselves, that sin nature will rise up. But thank God for saving us from the inside and giving us his gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're so perceptible to continue in our guilt and shame. And so many people choose to live a life of guilt and shame rather than to be free. They want to be locked up when you can come to the Lord and be restored. But if we own it, we can take it to the Lord and leave it there. We can leave it there. Charles A. Tinley in 1916 wrote these lyrics. He says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I'm talking about restoration today. Look at Psalms 51:6. David says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. On the chat, can you just type out truth real quick? Truth, wherever you stand and sit and say truth, truth. God desires truth in the inward part. Now, if I can jump again to the New Testament, we realize the only way that true truth is going to take place on the inside of us is for us to be saved. God has to change our inward nature. But David recognized this. He says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Psalm 51:7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. That theme of cleansing and washing. Psalm 51:8, he says, make me hear joy and gladness. Can you put in the chat again, joy? I already had to do it one time. A joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Sometimes we got to go through some struggles in our lives, and God is going to call us out and it's going to hurt. There's going to be some tears that come down when you realize what you've done and the reality of sin comes upon you. But it's a good thing, because now we know that we've got to run to the Lord. Here's the point. A better day is on the way. Yes, a better day is on the way. That's good to know, that a better day is on the way. Because when you're going through and when you get convicted, and then when you confess that sin, sometimes there's still a struggle. We've got to be restored and know there's a better day on the way. God directed that. In this scripture, we see this hyssop. It came from a shrub that was in that context of that area. And this shrub with running water should be used in actually a ceremonial cleansing of those who had leprosy. You find that in Leviticus 14, around that first verse to the eighth verse. This was prescribed. So use hyssop and use water, and the leper would be cleansed. But also, according to the Levitical law, hyssop alone could cleanse one from contact with a dead corpse. So that's in Numbers 19:18. So David was aware of these things, and he brings forth this thought, Pastor. Wash me implies a thorough and deep cleansing, as a man washes his garments. It's deeper than simply washing the skin as we wash our hands before we eat. Please understand that. He said, I need you to wash me on the inside. I need you to get deep in my inward. I need somebody who can touch my spirit, that can restore me. I tell you, this is good. Theologian McDonald gives us a paints a picture of this. He says, when I sin, I lost my song. It has been so long since I've known what real joy and gladness are. He paraphrases it, but he really captures the heart of this scripture. He says, let me hear the music of rejoicing once again. In my backslidden condition, it seemed that you had crippled me by breaking my bones. I could no longer dance before you in the holy festivals. Now heal those fractures so that I may join your people in praising your name in the dance. That good, that paraphrase there. I've heard and I've been told, and I looked at documentaries, that sometimes when you break a bone and it's put back together, it becomes stronger. Yes, it becomes, the calcification takes place here. And David said, I've been broken. God broke me down. My sin caused me to go through some struggles. But God, if you can put me back together again, I'll never forget where you brought me from. I'm telling you, there may be some folks that's out there right now, and you're going through some stuff. You've got some sin that you've been trying to hide. You're living a life of guilt and shame, but I want you to confess it right now. It's going to hurt. There's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some things you're going to have to go through, but please understand, when you give it to God, He's able to restore you and put you back together again. Please know that God has always been in the restoration business. That's why we have a Savior. That's why He's given us His Holy Spirit. Would you trust Him today? Look at Psalms 51:9. David said, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." I told you that blot would come up over and over again. Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Here's the point: a clean heart. Yes, a clean heart. Doesn't that do something for you? Some of you out there have actually had heart conditions, and we've got someone in our church that had a heart replacement. Yes, they got a new heart that was put on the inside of them. Some of you have had stents that were put in, and that to open up your arteries and your flow. I'm telling you, but God is the only one that can clean our spiritual hearts. James Cleveland in the Southern California Community Choir, they sang this. They said, "Give me a clean heart, so that I may serve Thee. Lord, fix my heart, so that I may be used by Thee. For I am not worthy of all these blessings. Give me a clean heart, that I'll follow Thee." I'm telling you, that's David's prayer. That should be our prayer, that God cleanse us deep, that our spirits be connected with Him. Psalms 51:19, again, that last part, "And blot out all my iniquities." Oh, can you put in the chat, A-L-L, wherever you're standing, say, "Oh, God, I don't want you to miss any. I want you to blot all my iniquity out." I love that blotting process. Again, what can wash away our sins? Again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What Christ has done blots out our sins. That's the only way we can get into His presence. That's the only way that we can live with Him eternally. We've got to have someone that has stood in our place. Thank God for restoration. Look at this, Psalms 51:11. "Do not cast me from your presence." I love this. "And do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Now, I do need to stay in context and pull this in the Old Testament, because this was looking to the Messiah. It said earlier, they did not have the constant dwelling of the Holy Spirit. But kings and priests in the Old Testament, from time to time, the Holy Spirit would set upon them, give them an extra anointing, move on them, but it would quickly be pulled back, simply because they did not have a covering of the Messiah. He is going to come. Now he's saying, even though it would sit upon me and be released from time to time, he said, don't take it away from me. Just having a touch from you. And some of you have been there. When we sin, we seem like we are alone. It seems like we struggle, and God is saying, "You're not alone. I'm still there, but you need to bring it to me." Psalm 51:12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." 13th verse, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." See what restoration does for us? Here's the point. It's time to help others. Yes, it's time to help others. I'm realizing there's so many of you that's got testimonies. Look at Psalms 51:13 again. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." But we got an obligation. We have an obligation to tell others about the good times as well as the bad times. And some of you are so far removed from your sins, from your mess and your stress that you went through, that all of a sudden you're trying to forget that stuff. But maybe God is saying, "I allowed you to go through that, and you've confessed those sins, so you can tell others that you're not all of that. That if it had not been for the grace and mercy of God, and by giving your testimony, by telling an encouraging someone, you know what, I made that mistake. I don't want you to have to go to that mistake. Maybe you can encourage them that they can stay in a place of constant fellowship with the Lord. But restoration means we got an obligation again to tell others, to testify what God has done in our lives. And God spoke of this to the children of Israel, and he spoke this as they tried to train others that were under them in Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Deuteronomy 6:7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. He said, you got to bring those mandates, all that you've learned, you've got to bring it forth, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. We got to tell somebody. You're all sitting here and you're thinking, okay, God, how can I be used? And I can't see you, but I believe that you're looking beautiful and handsome, but all of us got a story. Yes, all of us got some rags somewhere. All of us got some struggles somewhere. All of us got some locked boxes somewhere, but maybe God has asked you to open that stuff up. You've asked God for forgiveness. Now we got to share with other people and know that God is faithful in spite of us. There are definitely some people out there that can give God some praise about being restored and knowing that it is time to help others. Restoration. Look at Psalm 51:14. David says, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. You get the picture? He was a murderer. He assisted in that. And that guilt, Uriah actually was one of his mighty warriors. This just wasn't no sidekick person that wasn't being used. This was a man that was willing to give up his life for his king. He was focused. He was loyal. He was everything that David would want a soldier to be, a mighty man. But he had him killed. And so David, every day he got up. It's kind of like Shakespeare's. You know, the blood, I see the blood and you can't wash it off. This is what David was dealing with. He needed to be restored. He said, deliver me from the guilt of the bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. He said, God, you got to do this. You got to do this. I want to give you more praise. I want to worship you, but I realize only you can cleanse me. Only you can take that picture out of my mind. Here's the point. Never forget where he brought you from. Yes, never forget where he brought you from. David did not run from his past. Once he came to a repentant state, he embraced it. That's why we're reading these Psalms, because he was able to put it down to encourage others, to teach others. But he used it, that stuff from the past, as fuel to praise God and to thank God for his grace and mercy. So the enemy will tell you, you know what, you messed up and you did all of this. You know what, God doesn't love you and you don't need to, but you need to tell him that it's by God's grace and mercy. And when you confess that sin, you can say, yeah, I did do that. And yes, I was that, but I want to give God praise for where I am right now. I may not be all that I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. There ought to be some praise and worship. I know we got some rough edges and we still got some struggles and our mindset is not all there, but aren't you glad this is a progressive thing that we know God can restore us. Even when you're restoring a car, you just don't make it happen. You got to get the pieces and the parts. You got to paint and you got to put all the things back together. But I'm so glad for a God that takes his time to restore us. Look at Psalm 51:15. Oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. There ought to be some folks that out there say, I've been forgiven of a lot, but I'm wondering, are you praising him in the same manner? I know you're in your living rooms or you're on your break or you're looking at this later, but I want you to take time right now to lift up those hands and say, God, I thank you for restoring me. I want you to take a little time and maybe to jump up and say, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing on the inside of me. I thank you for giving me another opportunity just to say, thank you, Lord. Look at these final scriptures, restoration, Psalm 51:16. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Can you put in the chat? Broken, broken. That's important. We've been talking about God meaning that a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, oh God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Here's the final point. Is God pleased with me? Is God pleased with me? I need you to type that out. If you don't mind, wherever you're standing, sitting, I just need you to repeat that. Is God pleased with me? Because it's a thought. It's a thought that all of us got to say, is God pleased with me? We spend our whole life so many times trying to please other folks that don't care anything about us. There ought to be some amens out there. But we do. We jump through these hoops and we make these decisions and we think sometimes people love us when they're just using us. But we ultimately got to say, is God pleased with me? Because you don't have to stand before your boss. You don't have to stand before your co-workers. You don't have to stand before your wife or your husband or your children. But you do have to stand before God. Is God pleased with me? Ed Henson writes, he says, the Mosaic law allows no reconciliation or sacrifice for the sins of adultery and murder. David correctly recognizes that the only acceptable sacrifices are a broken spirit. Well, in the context of scripture, he's like, you know what? I can't bring a bull to you to cover this because it's nothing prescribed in the law for this. A broken and a contrite heart. God does not want a show of ceremony when we sin. Rather, God delights in a quiet softening of the heart and a personal contrition and confession of sin. Some people have gotten caught up. There's the other spectrum that some people, they come to church, maybe the physical fellowship, and they're always up front. And I believe people should come up and get to the altar. But I'm telling you, once you confess a sin, you should be coming back over and over for the same sin. You should be letting God work that out. And some people think they can put tears on the altar and go through and go right back and do the same thing. No, God is saying you got to confess that sin. You got to get it out. And then he expects to change. He wants to restore you, but you got to let it go. You remember that old nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You remember that? I think we all were brought up with that. That always concerned me. I felt sorry for Humpty Dumpty. And we had visuals of pieces of shell all over the place. And everybody looking at Humpty Dumpty is like, I'm sorry, Humpty Dumpty, there is no hope for you. But I want you to know that there is a God, and he's able to restore Humpty Dumpty. He's able to put the parts all back together. Again, there ought to be some shouts of praise. I'm so glad that Jesus is the one that came from heaven to earth, because he had to put us back together. He had to restore mankind. He healed leprosy. He even forgave sins. You remember there was a time that a paralytic, he was let down and from the roof right in the middle of the people that were around Jesus. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. I'm talking about restoration. But the people were concerned. And they said in Mark 2:8, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? I'm talking about restoration. There's something about being with a God that can forgive your sins, that can take away that guilt and shame. Mark 2:10, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Isn't that good news? Immediately he arose and took up the bed and went out into the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. I'm talking about restoration today, but that restoration also links me to the resurrection. Say, Pastor, what you're talking about? Because Jesus, if he had just forgiven sins, Jesus, if he had just healed the sick and caused the lame to walk, that wouldn't have been enough. But we needed a God to understand what we were going through. We need a God to be tempted in all points that we were tempted, yet without sin. So he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, cries out, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done.
done. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He goes down the Via Dolorosa, but we find our God on the cross of Calvary. He's broken. He's busted. He's disgusted for us. He's bleeding profusely. He's been beaten all night long, and we can see it on the cross. But I'm so glad for a God that's about restoration. See, in order for us to be restored, there had to be a resurrection. In order for us to be restored, there had to be someone that was broken down for us. And somebody need to shout out, thank God for Jesus. On that cross of Calvary, Jesus carried our griefs and bore our pains. He was getting all our parts together as he was broken. But I'm so glad he cried out, it's finished. He said, I've done it, Father. I've done all that I need to do that this restoration process can take place. But now I'm on the way to resurrection. There ought to be some saints say, thank you, Lord. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave. Oh, he's working on restoration for us. But 3 days later, he gets up with all power and I'm talking about resurrection now for us, that we could understand that now he's seated on the right hand of the Father and he's praying for us. God desires to restore us. But we got to come to him. We got to give it all to him. He's done all the work. But he's looking for us to come and fall down at his feet and say, God, I've sinned against you. I've messed up against you. Lord, would you restore me? Would you give me a clean heart? Saints, this is our time. This is our day. It's getting heavy out here. It's getting dark out here. There's so many enticements that are out here. But all of those are empty. The enemy will promise you this. He will promise you that. But when it all comes out, you feel empty. But let me remind you, we know a man named Jesus who has given us his precious Holy Spirit, who is more than enough, who will never leave us or forsake us, who is known as the Comforter because of what he's done through resurrection. We can say, God, restore me, and we can embrace restoration in our lives. To those who don't know Christ, I pray that today be your day, that you can see in this scripture that God loves you in spite of what you've done. He just wants you to come to him and confess it. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. Said you will be saved. You got to know you need a savior. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift from you. If God can forgive David from adultery and murder, he can forgive you. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this lesson today, Lord, for taking us through this psalm, helping us to see the heart of David, but most importantly, see your heart. Lord, I thank you that souls are being saved right now. I thank you that saints are being encouraged right now. We thank you for working in our lives. Thank you again for restoring us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive welcoming pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, to thee I come. I come. just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood you shed for me, and then thou biddest me to come, O Lamb of God, to thee I come. I come. Let me say that again. Just as I am without one plea, but then thy blood was shed for me, and then thou bid me to come, O Lamb of God, to thee I come.